Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/watsonassistant.
This is DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg.
Now, there's everyday actions to help prevent the spread of respiratory diseases. Wash your hands. Avoid close contact with people who are sick. Avoid touching your eyes, your nose, your mouth. Stay home when you're sick. Cover your cough or sneeze. Clean and disinfect frequently touched objects. For more information, visit cdc.gov/COVID-19. This message brought to you by the National Association of Broadcasters and 98.7 ESPN New York. All right, probably the hardest working man in the world right now, and that is Jordan Renan joins us here, of course, beat reporter for the New York Football Giants. Good morning, Jordan. How are you?
Good morning. Yeah, Dave, you were up pretty late last night, too, for sure. You texted me in who knows what hours.
Not only was I up late last night, but I decided to start watching the end of Hunters last night at like 1:30 in the morning. So I was up very, very late. But that's a conversation for a different day. All right, so let's get into it. Your take on what the Giants did fourth overall is?
Positive. I mean, we've talked about this. It was about protecting the investment in Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley, right? And they did that. They took the guy that they thought was the best offensive tackle. I mean, I don't know how people sit there and they're going to nitpick which offensive tackle, because we've talked about this also from the start, is that these guys were all closely rated. It depends on who you talk to. Number one is number four on some people's boards. Number four is number one on some people's boards. So I've talked to personnel evaluators and they had Andrew Thomas as number one. So the fact that he came atop the Giants board, I don't think should be a huge surprise to anyone, or should everyone should be like, this guy can't play, he's not going to be any good. That, to me, is kind of ridiculous. What I did notice and that the Giants really liked about him, and I think this sort of set him over the top, they liked his length, right? And that's a big thing with offensive tackles, arm length. 36 1/8 inch arms, that was tied for second among all the offensive tackles. I think that partially helps set him apart from the rest of the guys.
Yeah, it's what you like. Length, girth, whatever it ends up being. I mean, that's what you decide. Jordan, I actually, and I mentioned this to start the show, I like the fact, and I gave you credit too. I mean, especially now during the quarantine, I mean, you're making 1,000 phone calls a day trying to figure out who the Giants are going to take. You thought it could be, you know, potentially worse. I got to be honest. I love the fact that no one really had any idea that Andrew Thomas was going to be the fourth overall pick. How about you?
I don't think that's true. Ask Dave and Chris. I mean, I was sending them texts for several days. I heard it was either Wirfs or Thomas. I mean, I put out before the draft, Wirfs or Thomas, I thought it was. So I really don't think that's the case. It just depends. The thing is that during the draft process, I don't even think teams need to be deceptive, right? Because there's so many opinions that your mind's just going to get scrambled if you search around enough, right? You listen to enough people, and really mostly what mock drafting is people putting their best educated guesses, right? And looking at, and so people who don't talk to anybody really within the Giants or, you know, that are connected to the Giants, they're just going and they're looking at traits, their rankings, where you kind of the range you put a guy in the team's needs, and they marry it together. And there's so many opinions out there that you can just get your head scrambled on what the team's intentions really are.
Jordan, I know that the Giants are going to present this pick as an organizational decision, but do we know, you know, who had more input in terms of this being the direction that they went in? Was it Dave Gettleman or was it Joe Judge, their new head coach?
Yeah, here's what I think about that. I think that Dave Gettleman has the ultimate say still when it comes to who they're going to pick. I mean, he's the general manager. If he didn't, he'd be, what's he doing really at this point, right? But Joe Judge's influence, you know, his fingers are all over this stuff. I mean, if you think about it, this might not have been Dave Gettleman's pick last year. This pick in particular has a lot to do with the offense that they're going to run. With Joe Judge having people that he knows, including the Georgia coach, Kirby Smart, that he's reaching out to, that he's talking to, because he has those personal relationships with these guys. So, and knowing him pretty well, at least, you know, well in regards to knowing someone for, you know, about 3 or 4 months, you could tell. I mean, talk to him for one sit down, and you'll see the kind of personality that Joe Judge has. He is a strong personality. He's not going to get run over. He's not going to get railroaded. He's going to express his opinion and make his opinion known very loudly. So he has a lot of say, and probably, I think I could say this pretty confidently, he has more say than the previous coaches in regards to personnel.
Jordan Renan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. So at some point, he's going to wind up Thomas.
Hold on, can I amend that for a second? And I'm talking just the last two coaches. I'm not talking about Coughlin before that. I'm talking about McAdoo and Shermer in regards to his power over more than.
Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. We got you. We got you.
Okay. All right. So let me get back to my question, Jordan. So we know at some point Andrew Thomas is going to be the left tackle for this team. My question is, could you see him stepping in as a left tackle right away and Solder moving out to right tackle?
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the conference call yesterday, I was specifically asked this. Where do you plan on starting Andrew Thomas? And Joe Judge went on this little, you know, we're going to have everybody compete. You know, they're going to play on the right and left side, blah, blah, blah. And I said, well, I'm interpreting that as you're going to have all these guys compete. You're going to have him. You're going to start Andrew Thomas playing both the right and the left before you decide. Am I right about that? Before you decide where he's going to land. And he said, yes, that goes for all our tackles. So that means Nate Solder as well. So he's basically going to throw them into a pot, try every combination, I believe, early, and then decide, okay, this is our best option of where to go. Nick Gates will be in that mix. Cameron Fleming will be in that mix. And, you know, the best two guys of what they think is their best option. I mean, I'd be stunned if that best option did not include Andrew Thomas at this point because they have such a heavy investment in him right now. But they're going to throw them into a pot and see what happens. So I think Nate Solder as a right tackle or not on the roster at all.
Really?
Can't be discounted. You can't discount it at this point. I mean, I know they already paid him $3 million and it's unlikely, but I wouldn't discount it at all. If they decide he's not one of their two best starting options, are they really going to continue down that road? I mean, they could at least save some money.
That was a spicy take. Hey, Jordan Renan joins us here on the show. A couple things. I try to give you a compliment first, and then you completely poo-poo the point. And second of all, I mean, I got you texting. What, did you lose my number? What's going on? My cell phone broken? I mean, you're texting back and forth with Dave and Canty. I'm not getting any of these updates.
What are we doing here? Looking. I didn't have your number. I don't have your number in my phone.
Cool.
It's not in my phone.
Oh, we got to rectify that. All right. Here's the question because a lot of people are asking it.
Go ahead.
Well, let's fix that because you know how much I bust your chops, but you know how much I love you.
Appreciate it.
Was it ever at all close? I know the Giants were trying to trade back. Was there any offers? Was it ever all close or no?
I think they were optimistic as the morning wore on that they might be able to do something with maybe the Jaguars, but as it went along, I just think they realized that there was nothing going to be there. I mean, the Dolphins and the Chargers, they played it really well. I mean, you have to give them credit. The Lions tried desperately to try and make a bidding war for their pick, and they couldn't make it happen. So once that's the case, the Giants are really stuck, right? I mean, the Lions even tried to get the Jaguars' name in there. I mean, there was just nothing that was teams were dying to move up for. So because, look, the Dolphins stayed where they were, right? And they got the guy they wanted in Tua. The Chargers stayed where they were, and they got their guy in Herbert. So it was a massive game of chicken going on, and those were the two winners. You know who the two losers were? The Lions and the Giants, because they couldn't get anybody to trade up. So I don't think it was a possibility. Now, what's the next thing they could do to try to add more picks? Potentially move today's second-round pick, number 36, just fourth overall in the second round, has value. The Giants picked 36 and 99 right now. 63-pick gap. That's huge, okay? This team has a lot of need. It would befit them to be able to move back a little bit, add some more picks potentially in these middle rounds.
So, Jordan, let's dig into that a little bit. Going into day two, what are the positions of needs for the Giants, and what are the specific players that you've heard them potentially targeting?
Yeah, well, one of them is center. We know that, you know, John Jalapio, who started last year, he is not signed right now. He tore his Achilles in week 17. So that is clearly a position they spent a lot of time on in this pre-draft process. Matt Hennessy is a guy I would keep my eyes open for somewhere in the second round. Maybe it's at the top of the second round. Maybe they're able to move back a little bit, add some more picks. I think that's kind of his range. His range is the second round. And you look at Zach Bourn, a linebacker from Wisconsin, another player I would definitely keep my eyes on. And then really when you look at it, the way the second round works a lot of times, remember Landon Collins? So basically the Giants didn't think they were going to draft Landon Collins. They didn't think they had any shot at Landon Collins. But he fell out of the first round. So they moved, they moved up from their pick in the second round. They moved up to the top pick of the second round and took Landon Collins because they had a first round grade on him. So if there are any players that had a first round grade for the Giants and they didn't end up getting picked last night and they drop into the second round, if they stay at 36, those are the guys that I would expect them to target. Don't be surprised if Gross Matos from Penn State, because look, edge rusher, complete position of need, right? So, I mean, that's a clear position of need. So Gross Matos is a guy I would absolutely keep my eye on. And zero safeties were picked last night, right?
Mm-hmm.
None. That's a position the Giants need. Who is their top-ranked safety? Who do they view as potential fits? Antoine Winfield is a guy I would keep my eye on. I think, or I know, what the Giants would like is they want to have speed in that secondary. And I know people say McKinney from Alabama, he dropped, but one of the reasons he did drop is because of that speed. So I think they're looking for a speedy guy at the back, sort of a guy that is in that free safety type mold. And I think Antoine Winfield Jr., he could play the slot as well, would be a guy that you should keep your eye on as well.
Jordan Renan with us here, 98.7 ESPN. We know they tried to trade out of the four spot and they couldn't. Do you think it'll be easier if they want to trade back from 36 to be able to do that tonight than it was to potentially do it from four?
I think so, because I think what you can do, right, they could probably move back a few spots, move back, and then they could keep moving around is what I'm trying to say, right? You could drop down from 36 to 42 and then move back again and use some of your late round picks, because they do have late round picks, right? So you throw in some fifth, sixth, a seventh, whatever, and you keep trying to move around and maneuver around. If they're flexible enough, now we know this is not Dave Gettleman's specialty. He has never traded down in the draft, but we're really going to see, I think, how influential is Joe Judge? Well, this is where, to me, it's really going to show is their ability or desire to really move around here on day two in particular, right? Can they get three picks out of today? Right, like, let's say right now they're, 36 and 99.
Right.
Can they get, somehow, 50 and 80 to go with 99? I think that would be the goal. And that's the kind of, the kind of thing. I mean, Bill Belichick, he traded out of the first round yesterday, right? I mean, nobody makes more trades than Bill Belichick. So I think Joe Judge would like to operate that way in regards to adding picks. So I think that would be... I think there's a good chance that happens today.
All right, Jordan, last one from me. I mean, one of the greatest trades in the history of the New York Giants/Jets.
God, here we go.
What's going to happen with this Leonard Williams grievance?
I mean, it's hard pressed for me to imagine he wins, right? Because let's be honest. Think about last year. He had a 50-year option. He was listed as a defensive tackle. He wanted to be listed as a defensive end. Guess what? He wasn't. So the likelihood is, again, it's not going to happen. I know they might. Their argument is probably going to be he's a 3-4 defensive end in the Giants system. He's literally a defensive end. But most of his snaps are in a more traditional defensive tackle position. It's really hard to imagine that he's going to win it. And look, the Giants' goal still here is to try and reach a long-term deal. So I don't know if they can, because, heck, the guy's guaranteed $16 million. Up to and potentially up to $18 million, right? He had half a sack last year. $18 million, that's a easy starting point for the agent. Look, we're making $18 million this year. He could, poop his pants next year.
Wow.
and do nothing and get zero sacks and still get another $6 million. So right from the get-go, that's basically, he's guaranteed almost, $22 million by doing nothing right now. All he has to do is go on the field, step on the field, and play. He doesn't have to play well, right? Because 16, and I'm going on the low end this year, 16 this year is already guaranteed if he, once he signs that tender. Okay? He could play terribly, get a one-year, $6 million deal next year or something, right, which isn't even that, which isn't even good. And so that's $22 million that's going to be in his pocket. So any guarantee is going to have to start with a number way bigger than that to make him happy. And that doesn't even seem realistic, to be honest with you.
It's the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. All right. And, of course,
I mean,
you had to bring it up.
You got to think about it. Think about it. That number he has right now is huge. I mean, $16 or $18 million.
Yeah, no, we know.
It's unbelievable.
Yeah, no, we know. We're fully well aware of what's going on there. All right, Jordan, listen. Why do you have to do that? We appreciate
Dave,
you.
What's going to be going through your head as the Jets step up for that pick today?
I hope that guy's the worst player in the history of football.
No, stop it.
I'm not kidding. What do you want me to lie to you? I hope that guy is the Eric Flowers of the third round. I just hope he's an absolute walking disaster.
I heard somebody say that player is going to be compared to Leonard Williams, but that's not even fair. Like, you can't.
Well, he's going to be a tenth of the price of Leonard Williams.
One guy's getting paid $16 million. The other guy's getting paid $1 million. There's a $15 million difference between those two players. $15 million.
Yeah, I hope the Jets forget to make the pick. I hope their Wi-Fi goes out.
That's the only way you can feel good about it pretty much today, if they don't make the pick.
All right, Jordan, I'll text you a lot later. I know we have each other's numbers, and I'll definitely be in touch as much as humanly
right,
possible. Thanks, as always.
How about you do me a favor? You start a text thread and make sure Rick is on it this time.
Oh. Now we're talking. If Rick gives the green light, that's fair.
Green light. I'm giving it. Green light. Okay. I want Jordan as a part of my life.
Okay. Well, I will do that.
How many times is he going to text me?
It could be a lot. Now, I hope that he doesn't ask you questions like he did on the show today, that he raises the level of question. I hope. I apologize for that, Jordan.
No. I love Rick. It was great. Worked out well.
Yeah, good. You're a good teammate. All right, we'll talk to you, bud.
All right, speak to you later, guys.
All right, that, of course, is Jordan Rahn. So you're gonna just hammer this guy with questions, aren't you?
No, I'm not going to hammer him, but it'd be nice if I do have a question or just chat, like, hey, how's things going? How you holding up? How's the hair look? Like, things like that. I would try to give him a compliment. I asked the question in order to give him a compliment, and he completely poo-pooed it.
Let's be honest, though, Rico. You know you're going to terrorize Jordan Rahn, right? You know that's going to happen.
Oh, yeah, depending on the mood. Yeah, I mean, depending on my mood, if I need a quick, yeah.
No,
yeah,
not depending on your mood. More often than not, when you reach out to communicate with Jordan, it would be taking a shot at him.
Why?
I don't know why. Why ask why? I mean, you know me long enough. I don't know. I can't explain it.
I'm trying to explain why Dave is this crazed Giants fan.
Maybe it's my upbringing.
It's unexplainable.
Yeah.
I mean, you get raised by Mickey Rourke, Graham, and crazy things happen.
I'm not comfortable with that at all.
I'm so uncomfortable with you calling really? Your mother that.
I'm not even a little bit. I'm not going to pretend I'm comfortable. It makes me squirm every time you say it, and I will not accept it. On her behalf, I will not accept it.
She knows it. She knows it. She loves it.
I'm sure she loves it.
He loves it.
You call your mother star. Names of a disfigured looking actor, and you're saying I'm sure she loves it?
Oh, that's your opinion that he looks disfigured. I mean, is
everyone's opinion. Chris, do you think that Mickey Rourke looks disfigured?
Yes, Mickey Rourke is disfigured. Didn't need a lot of makeup for the movie The Wrestler.
No.
Cheryl was great in that movie. A.K.A. Trapzilla.
Oh, my God. By the way, Chris, I watched The End of the Hunters last night. I told you
it was a little bit of a twist, wasn't it?
No, that was not a little bit of a twist. That was unbelievable.
Yeah. Yeah, that was a good one.
I had to go right on the internet to find out when season two is coming out, just to find out they haven't even renewed yet. And there's no guarantee there's going to be a season two.
Okay, Dave, so here's your weekend assignment. When you're not watching the NFL draft or The Last Dance, what you need to do is finish Ozark and then compare the endings of both season series.
I'm going to start Ozark.
Which one has the bigger twist at the end?
So you're telling me that the twist of Ozark is comparable to what we saw at the end of Hunters?
My humble opinion. Now, I know I'm not any Gordon Damer,
right,
but that's just my opinion. I think they're very close. I'd probably give the edge to the Hunters, but, I mean, the twist at the end of Ozarks is pretty amazing.
Wow. You've piqued my interest. Now, Rick, at some point you're going to watch Hunters, right? It is unbelievable.
Yeah, at some point I have no choice. See, I haven't even seen it yet, and I'll say this just because I know you well enough, is that once you get through Ozarks, you'll think that, and I haven't even seen The Hunters yet, that the twist in The Hunters is probably better than the twist in Ozarks.
I mean, you ever have you watch a show and you watch it before bed, and then when you're done, the goal is to go to sleep, but it's so gripping that you just can't? That's what I had last night. It's like 1:45. I watch it, and I spend the next 20 minutes. I'm doing research. Was this guy real?
It's a good show.
It was unbelievable.
It's a good show. Yeah.
It's really unbelievable. So what's on tap today? Because we have rounds 2 and 3 of the NFL draft. So what's on tap today? We're going to bring you to 1 o'clock. That's when Bart and Han take over. Adam Schefter, who's a very busy man. Did you see this morning, Rick, his dogs jump into his lap during a live hit on Get Up?
Yeah, originally too, it was, the first hit he did, I guess the door was open so you could hear the barking. And he was like, hold on, can you close that door? And it didn't stop. And then obviously, this is what happens. And this is when you're doing live video from your house.
Well, we got dogs in the background barking here, Greeny. I apologize about that.
It's okay.
The plans going forward here is essentially a situation. Hold on. Hey, can you please shut my door? This is unbelievable. This is the way of the world right now. What are we going to do?
I love it. But isn't it nice to see like how these guys are dealing with their everyday lives? Like, it really lets you behind the curtain a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of like it.
Yeah,
to be completely honest, I kind of like it. And then you had
I like it as well.
Did you see Steve Mariucci yesterday? The running joke is that you don't have pants. Like, are you wearing pants?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So they were going back and forth. This was just probably 5 minutes before the draft kicked off, and they spent 5 minutes talking, business up top, party down below. And then finally Mooch, he just stands up and he's like, look, I'm wearing shorts. And he's right up into the camera. It's hilarious.
But everyone's
wearing
shorts.
You gotta make the best of it. You gotta, listen, if you can't make fun of yourself, then,
especially now, right? Kind of anything goes. I don't know if you saw Jeff Darlington was on Scott Van Pelt last night
at
Sports Center right after. And he's like, are you wearing pants? And he's like, no. He's like, I'm not even going to lie. No, of course I'm not wearing pants. He's like, are you wearing shorts? Like, yes.
Yes, he has shorts on.
I'm back wearing shorts.
Exactly. No, listen, that's the way of the world right now. This pandemic has affected everybody. It's changed the way we had to do the NFL draft. But, the show goes on, and I think they've done a tremendous job of being able to put together a broadcast that's entertaining.
I thought it was really good, Rick. I thought round one, now, I didn't think Goodell was great, and I thought he got confused with where the draft is going to be, when it's going to be back in Vegas, and I had enough of him interacting with pretend fans, but overall, I thought the draft coverage was really well done yesterday.
Yeah, listen, I have nothing negative to say about it. He didn't do a great job with Tua's last name, but that's expected. Once a year, he completely botches somebody's last name, but for the most part it was really good. I think everyone thought there was going to be something that went wrong. I thought some of the stuff was funny.
I think Trey Wingo's suit went wrong, but that's just my opinion.
See, I didn't hate Trey. I thought Trey's suit was all right. I didn't hate it.
I thought it was terrible.
Trey's suit or Michael Irvin's suit,
both equally as bad. Michael Irvin went with plaids and stripes.
Yeah, he's a big pattern guy.
I thought at
certain points, too, I thought he was sleeping, but then he opened his eyes. I couldn't tell. And then Booger's eyes started to look like they were just he was slowly going into sleep. But they made the best.
Yeah, there were a couple of guys on the broadcast that were fading, no doubt about it.
I forgot Kurt Warner was there for a while.
Well, there's so many people,
Kurt Warner.
Man. You have so many people involved, especially with the NFL Network involved. There's so many people. I feel bad for Trey, trying to go to all those people. And then, he had some of the pauses and then no one would speak. But
there was one last night where he had this whole point leading up to it. And they had the big split screen of everyone sitting there. And he just went on and on and on and on. And he set up the question. And he must have waited. It felt like 5 minutes. He must have waited for 10 seconds. Nobody answered. And he was just like, okay. And he didn't know what to say.
Yeah, there was a little bit of a pregnant pause. If he was pregnant, it would have been triplets. That's how long that pause was. But listen, you know that with everybody being in different places from a logistical standpoint, there are going to be some challenges. But I thought overall they did a pretty good job.
They did a great job. They did. Now, I was locked in on ESPN. Did either of you guys watch the ABC coverage at all?
Yeah, I flipped back and forth a little bit. I was back and forth.
And ABC was equally as good to ESPN?
Yeah, it was. It was a little bit different. It was more. You got more in depth as far as each one of the kids.
And, so it's more stories and less hard analysis, right?
Yeah, exactly right. But they were both great. I mean, at that point, let's be honest, Dev. I mean, at this point, where we're at, I mean, what we've been watching.
It's a low bar to clear.
Yeah. Exactly right.
Yeah, we actually have a weekend of sports. We get rounds 2 and 3 tonight starting at 6 o'clock here on 98.7. Then tomorrow you got rounds 4 through 7. And then Sunday you got the Last Dance. This is the best weekend of sports we've had in months.
And by the way, one of the quotes that's going to come out of this Last Dance, I hope Santiago can get it before the show is over. If they made a Dave Rothenberg documentary, this quote verbatim would be somewhere in the documentary.
Really?
Someone would have used it. Yeah, yeah. The quote from Michael Jordan, this could be, I mean, you just take it out of the documentary and put it in the Dave Rothenberg documentary, would fit perfectly, seamlessly.
So when you heard, the second you heard this quote, did you saw it in the trailer, this quote?
Yeah, like this would be, like if they interviewed Chris and I, and this had to do with, you know, the run of DCR, and obviously it would continue at this point while we're doing it, and they, I mean, this would be something that Chris or I would say.
About me.
Yes, to a T. Describes you perfectly.
Rick, that's a hell of a tease. Now, I can't wait to watch it.
So you don't know what it is?
I can't wait to watch it. But I know what he's talking about is going to stand out as soon as I hear it.
Now, you think there's a chance that Santiago can get that audio today and you can play it? Or you think that's unlikely?
Yeah, I mean, listen, Santiago's fully rested. He almost broke his TV last night because, you know, he wanted Chase on. But I think I the second I say it, he'll have it in 10 minutes.
All right, good. Then we should have that by the noon hour. All right, let's quickly run through some of the other selections. I'm going to go through them. You guys stop me when you have a real comment about any of these guys. All right, nothing surprises us about Cincinnati. They take Burrow 1 from LSU. Redskins take Chase Young, 2nd from Ohio State. Then the Lions go with Jeffrey Okuda, cornerback from Ohio State. You know what's amazing is that all three guys were teammates at Ohio State a couple years ago, Rick. I mean, you had Burrow, Young, Okuda, the top three selections in the draft, all played at Ohio State at the same time.
No, it's amazing, man. I mean, they had Ohio State's coach do an interview. I think was it SVP he did an interview on?
Yeah.
Yes. Yep.
And, I mean, they said it joking, but, I mean, really, as far as recruiting kids, I mean, you just send them the tape of the first three picks. Oh, hey, by the way, this is what we do for you if you're looking to get to the NFL.
Yeah. Yeah. And even kids we don't expect to go in the first round wind up going to the top 20. It's incredible, that program now.
Yeah. I mean, it's an advertisement for kids that want to try to get to the NFL. I mean, that, what you saw from the Ohio State players, but also what you saw from the SEC. I mean, if you're trying to get to the NFL, those are the places you go. Ohio State, Clemson, or an SEC school. That's really what it is.
So Giants obviously take Thomas at 4. Dolphins, now let's get your take on this, Chris. Dolphins get Tua. Dolphins get the corner from, it's Colorado, right? And then they get the offensive lineman from USC. I'm not going to attempt to say they're, or Auburn, right? From the 30th.
Auburn,
and they traded back to get the kid Noah as well. So now they're even loaded with more selections. I think it's very hard, Chris, to look at what Miami has done and not be impressed with their regime.
Yeah, I mean, it's impressive to see what they've done. They're stockpiling in that secondary, Dave, but I guess that shows you Brian Flores' football philosophy. It's much in the same way that we saw Bill Belichick build his defense the last decade. Being able to load up on corners and guys that have tremendous ball skills on the back end, I mean, that's going to be what they're going to do down in Miami. So you have to feel good about that. And you have to feel good about the fact that they did get their franchise quarterback. I was listening to Daniel Jeremiah last night, and he was talking about the chatter that was going on around Miami taking a position player with the 5th overall pick. And he was saying, you don't trade away all of the players that the Dolphins had, the Laramie Tunzels of the world, the Minka Fitzpatricks, just to get another position player. You trade those guys away so you can give yourself an opportunity to find your next franchise quarterback, because you know that's ultimately going to decide whether or not you're going to have success in this league. So I feel good about the program that Brian Flores and Chris Greer are implementing down there in Miami. I don't know how you can see what they've done over the course of the last 18 months and not feel like they're headed down the right road.
Yeah, you got your cake and ate it too. I mean, mm-hmm. We kept hearing last year tanking for Tua. I mean, they end up having, especially the way they finished the season, I mean, proved to everyone that Brian Flores is a good coach. Chris Greer knows what he's doing. And on top of it, you didn't have to trade up. I mean, Tua was sitting there for you at 5. So you still got to make all three of your first round picks. I mean, that's a huge win for the Dolphins.
And look at the running backs available in round 2. I mean, you got Jonathan Taylor, you got Swift. I mean, there's going to be a lot of talented backs. I guarantee you they're going to get one of those. And I don't know. I've said this for weeks now. I absolutely love what Miami is doing.
I think everyone does. It scares the hell out of me. And can we just put to sleep this whole, I mean, this whole conversation as far as, you know, what you do with Tua, you redshirt him. It's similar to what was going on with Pat Mahomes and Alex Smith in Kansas City. It was not similar. It's not similar, period. That's apples to oranges. Alex Smith was a first overall pick and the team was a playoff team. That's why you could keep Pat Mahomes on the bench. It's Ryan Fitzpatrick and it's the Dolphins. I mean, you can say that you're going to want to sit him for the entire year, but you don't think the fan base is going to be clamoring to see Tua?
I'm sure they will. And I think you'll see him at some point.
I don't know how you compare those two situations. That's a ridiculous comparison.
It's a terrible comparison. Terrible comparison. 800-919-3776. Then we saw Herbert go 6 to the Chargers overall. A pick, Chris, that I like. I think that they like Herbert. They have a team on the verge of being able to win now, and now they have their quarterback of the future as well.
Well, Dave, they got to have a quarterback that's going to allow them to compete offensively in that division with the Kansas City Chiefs. Tyrod Taylor, as much as I love him, he's not that guy. I mean, you're going to have to score points if you're going to keep up and try to win games in that division. So you saw the Denver Broncos, they went with a wide receiver to try to make their team a little more explosive offensively. To me, this is the Chargers doing the same thing. And that regime out there in L.A. is running out of time. You know, I'm talking about, like, they had a good season a couple of years ago, but again, they found themselves on the outside looking into the playoffs in 2019. And that means 5 out of the last 6 seasons, they've been out of the playoffs. So they've got to make a playoff push or at least be able to sell hope to the owner that they're going to make a playoff push in the next couple of years. Otherwise, I think that Anthony Lim and Tom Telesco could be out.
Yeah, perfect situation for Justin Herbert, too. I mean, as far as the 3 quarterbacks taken in the top 6 picks, as far as, you know, the talent around him, I mean, the Chargers clearly have the most talent. I mean, Herbert, you know, kind of fits the style of football that they want to play. Run the football, take deep shots down the field. He throws a great deep ball. And then on top of it, him getting a chance to stay on the West Coast. I mean, wasn't that one of the red flags about him? Never been out of Oregon?
Right.
So as far as fit, I mean, that's...
Grew up a Chargers fan, too.
Yeah, he couldn't have asked for anything more. I mean, that's the perfect spot for him to be drafted.
Yep. And then we had the stories that I guess a lot of teams attempted to move up to number 1 overall in Cincinnati. And then this doesn't come as a surprise at all. Just was vehement that no, Joe Burrow was their guy. No way you could get it.
By the way, 2 things. I'm not sure if you guys heard this. I think Chris did because he watches the show. First of all, there's a new, I know Kay is Narcomania. Florio now, Mike Florio is officially Narcomania. He's taken, Kay is now second fiddle because Florio loves. Like, dude, he was beating the drum today this morning about how, you know, with the social distancing. He had agents, you know, flying in to be with their clients.
Drew Rosenhaus is just popping up.
Oh yeah, he was appalled. So that was the first thing. But second thing, how crazy is this? So apparently, you know how I always joke that you should be able to buy draft picks? Like if there's a team like Cincinnati, mm-hmm. like you should be able to buy the draft pick. But the teams don't want to, or the NFL, whatever, doesn't want to do that. So apparently, he brought this up this morning. This was actually being discussed, trying to find a way to get from 5 to 1, is that they would draft Cincinnati's player at 5, right? They would pay that player his signing bonus and then trade that player to Cincinnati. And then they would take Joe Burrow in the trade, and once they traded for Joe Burrow, they would pay Joe Burrow's signing bonus. So it would be almost like paying, you know what I mean? It would almost be like paying for the draft pick.
In essence, it would. But then you really have the haves or have-nots in the NFL, don't you?
Yeah, but it depends. I mean, Chris always says it. We always talk about it. I mean, what is your definition of winning? Are you trying to win financially? Or are you trying to win football games? So you leave it up to what the owner wants to do. Is it a money thing or is it a winning thing?
It's not a crazy thought.
No, but what doesn't make sense for that? I mean, what doesn't make sense for Cincinnati is the fact that, I mean, Joe Burrow is an Ohio kid. Like, he's the amount of money they're going to make on Joe Burrow selling jerseys and everything else. So the hope is going
to
be...
Yeah, that'd be hard to recover from. Like, the guy puts together the best statistical season of any quarterback in college football history. Mm-hmm. He wins the Heisman, wins the national championship. He's from Southeast Ohio, and you have the number 1 overall pick in Cincinnati.
And you don't take
How
him.
Could you justify not taking that kid?
You might as well fold up and just not play in the
game. Yeah, exactly. Like you, right? I mean, listen, the Cincinnati fan base is a patient fan base. They ain't won a playoff game in 30 years. But, I mean, if you're not even going to try to fake it, if you're not even going to try to hide it, to me, there's no way that you could justify them not taking Joe Burrow number one last night.
All right, we continue our way through the first round, and we get to your calls as well, 800-919-3776. Rich Cimini at noon today. Now, Rick, you still have a hot take that you have to come up with, right?
Yeah, I could go hot take. I'm thinking about actually – I'm actually thinking about – don't yell at me, but because it's an important day and it's a football Friday, I was actually going to do us as a show a solid. I was going to replace my segment, Nobservations, our segment – with a frenzy.
I think that'd be fine.
Because I feel like we need it.
We haven't had it in forever. We need it, and when God knows when we're going to get it again. So I'm fine with that. And then we'll go right back to Nobservations on Monday.
Well, I don't want you to be fine. I want you to love it.
No, I love it. I love the idea, Rick.
He loves it.
Well, we said at the top of the show that this is going to be officially a Football Friday.
Yes.
Missed opportunity, by the way, too. Can I bring this up? And this is,
yeah, please.
I mean, this is... When I say it, it's going to sound crazy, and it would never happen, but this is a missed opportunity. Had Joe Burrow, since he got the phone call the day before the draft from the owner, the jersey sent like he knew he was going, had he staged it where he was actually dressed up like Joe Exotic when he got drafted?
I don't think he would want to be associated with Joe Exotic.
Yeah, but they were. I mean, Trey was calling him the Tiger King. Like they were. I mean, there was. They were insinuating that he was now the Tiger King.
But
I mean,
they would call.
Yeah, I don't know if
Tiger
you want to
King.
Ride that wave if you're Joe Burrow, though.
Well, maybe if he just goes to, like, how about a bleach blonde mullet? And maybe, you know what I mean? Like, something like that. Just like as an ode.
No, I think he did the right thing.
Yeah. You're an idea guy, Rick, but this is not one of your better ideas, no.
Not at all.
No.
Speaking of missed opportunities, let me tell you who didn't miss an opportunity last night. Trey Young to take a jab at his ex-girlfriend, which happens to be the girlfriend of CeeDee Lamb, when she tried to grab the cell phone. That did not work out for her.
Small world.
No. No.
But the meme that Trey Young put on social media is priceless. If you haven't seen it, do yourself a favor, check it out.
Today on ESPN Daily, round one of the NFL draft is in the books with plenty of surprises. Mike Golic Jr. reacts to standout moments in the first night, from teams' big moves to seeing Roger Goodell's basement. That's ESPN Daily with Mina Kime. Subscribe now wherever you get your podcasts. Let's go to Chris and Bethpage. Chris, you're next up on 98.7.
Hey, guys. Dave, first of all, I want to say I got about 3 months' worth of Stump Rothenberg questions ready for you, okay?
Tomorrow morning at 10:30, you can bring one.
I know. I'll be there. Don't worry.
All right.
Listen, I love the Giants draft pick. Unlike, you know, I got a text from a lot of my friends last night, similar to you, Dave. It's like, we should have taken Isaiah Simmons. We should have done this. And I'm like, I totally agree with Chris, and he's been preaching this, which is you got to be able to protect Daniel Jones, and you need someone for Saquon Barkley to run behind. And by the way, if you look at some of the mock drafts back in like November and December, which I always do, I always look at these mock drafts months in advance, Andrew Thomas was always the top guy, always. And then suddenly, you know, Wills came along, and then Becton came out of, you know, and then Wirfs came out of nowhere. I'm just saying, you know, people forget what happens between, you know, December and now that changes their mind on Andrew Thomas. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the part I don't get. And that's what always frustrates me with the draft. You can have a really good, like, February and March when you're not playing, and suddenly you start, you know, guys move up and guys drop down. It's such an inexact science. This guy Thomas, I wanted him all along for the Giants. He's the perfect guy. And, you know, like Kirby Smart said, you throw him out there, he's going to be there for 12, 14 years. I mean, It was a no-brainer. I'm so glad they took this guy, and I want everyone to stop complaining that we should have taken Isaiah Simmons. We need an offensive line. Everyone knows we've stunk in that department since the Super Bowls. So that's it. That's all I got to say.
Yeah, I think all of us, for the most part, agree with you, and we feel good about the pick, and that's who the Giants wanted. They had conviction on it, and they went in that direction. So, again, and Chris, we started the show with this. I just find it difficult to look at the selection and to beat it up.
No, you can't beat it up. I mean, I happen to like the pick that the Giants made just because the guy was a productive player, a 3-year starter down in Georgia, which is an SEC school. We've talked about how good the SEC competition is. But getting back to what that last caller said about the pre-draft process and the evaluation, what happens is these coaches, they look for traits, they look for physical attributes that you can't coach, you can't teach. And so a lot of these guys that are these physical freaks, when it gets to the combines and to the pro days and you actually get to see them up close and personal, that does sway the opinion of evaluators a lot. And so much so that you can get people to not weight the tape as heavily as they probably should. But if you're just basing it off of the tape in terms of the tackle that was the most technically sound, the guy that was, fundamental to the position, you have to look at Andrew Thomas as being head and shoulders above all the other guys. The other guys have more potential based on physical attributes, but in terms of what Andrew Thomas brings to the table, I mean, as far as what he showed at Georgia, it's a no-brainer.
I mean, we've said it a couple different times. I mean, Dave, the right pick for the New York Giants with what they've invested on the offensive side of the ball, especially at the running back and quarterback position, was offensive line.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just becomes a matter of what you like the best, who you think the best is. And Joe Judge and Dave Gettleman think that, the guy they like the most between the game tape, getting a chance to speak with the kid and everyone in the kid's life. I mean, let's face it. I mean, you heard Mike Tannenbaum. I mean, you're talking about the guy who drove you to the airport, high school coaches, everyone. Everyone that they, that they talked to, that this was the kid. So you got to trust it.
Well, Rick,
there's no reason not to like it at this point.
Well, Rick, here's the thing. When it comes to character and when it comes to the tape, are there any questions about Andrew Thomas?
No. Not that I've seen or heard.
Okay, with the other guys, Becton, Wirfs, Wills, there's questions, right? I mean, as great as we think Wills is going to be at Cleveland, Wills has not played left tackle. He was a right tackle. So you're still projecting somewhat when you talk about what he's going to be in the NFL. The same thing with Becton, the same thing with Wirfs. With Thomas, you don't have any of those questions. You don't have questions about the character. It's not like the kid has been out of shape. You don't have questions about, can he do the job? Because you've seen him do the job. So to me, for the Giants looking for the cleanest offensive line prospect and knowing how that organization feels about the character of the guys that they bring into that locker room, Andrew Thomas makes a whole lot of sense.
All right. Now, Rich Cimini is going to join us in a moment. Some quotes that Rich has gathered on Mekhi Becton from talent evaluators. Quote, reminds me of Trent Brown, but way better. Quote, it's ridiculous how good he can be. You don't have many people on the planet that big, that strong, that fast. Quote, a little bit of concern with his football character, work ethic, consistency, maybe because things just come so easy for him. An NFL Network analyst, former offensive lineman Brian Baldinger, says trying to get around him is like orbiting the sun. I don't believe he's reached his ceiling yet.
DiPietro, Canty, and Rothenberg, weekdays at 10 on 98.7 ESPN.